It's really difficult sometimes to give a sermon, for me anyway, because more in the teaching realm, I like feedback, and I like to be able to ask questions and discuss and find out what's going on in your head. And I'm really looking forward to the fact that we're going to have two Sunday school classes to go over this in application. Because so often, you know, people will hear the Word of God and they'll even agree with it, but that doesn't mean they're obedient. And boy, that's really serious. And so today's message in this idea of just what is this battle to stay under the direction of God, it's a battle. It's a battle, and sometimes you wonder. It seems to me like if we're really doing the job God's calling us to in this battle to follow the Lord, there should be a whole lot of the joy of our salvation. And there should be a whole lot of thanks. And have you noticed, and I'm not necessarily talking about you as an encouragement to me, but I, outside, as you leave this place and go into the world, man, people will say they're Christians, but they never talk about the Lord. And they certainly don't seem like a people that are just so giving thanks in everything. And we're going to find out that God says that's the path to futility. That's how it starts, even for Christians. And so we look at the futility of mind and its ways, and you look at the foundation here, and I put three verses. I had them written in on your outline, and the reason is I'd like you to memorize those three verses before you come to Sunday school next week. They're real key verses. Some of you probably already have them memorized. But they're verses that you should have in your heart so that God could bring them to you, because it's God's warning. And the first one there is sometimes you'll ask people, and I would challenge you this week, ask some Christians, why did Christ die? Why does he say he died? And, you know, to forgive us our sins and all that, you know, comes out. But, you know, very few people will quote this idea that he died for all so that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. So the foundation of all our sin is you living for yourself. Man, does that kind of grab you? I mean, to live for yourself and then ask yourself, God, do I have a problem with kind of living for myself? Is that really a problem? He says, yeah, it's a real big problem. I died for it. So you would quit doing it. Well, then I got a call last night about 10 o'clock. I've been talking about this stuff with different people, and one of them was my daughter, one daughter, the one that lives in Alaska. Time difference, so, you know, she calls it 10:30 and acts like it's okay. But she said, man, I'm struggling. I am so full of myself. She said, when people offend me, I just can't get it out of my head. I get all, because I told her that one of the signs that you're able to deny yourself is when people reject you and spit on you and it doesn't bother you anymore. It's when people don't give you the attention. You did something, someone else gets claim. When you're just treated unfairly, all those kinds of things. When you get to where that doesn't affect you, affect your joy, affect your peace, you're learning how to deny yourself. She said, man, I don't get it, because I just get so bugged and angry. I said, well, you're full of yourself. I mean, let's just be honest. And then think of the memory verse that a lot of you have memorized in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And think how serious is this when we look at it from the standpoint of really representing and honoring God or not. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and what? Do not rely on what? Your own insight. Do you really think to yourself, you know, my own insights are evil? I mean, do you think like that? I don't. I gotta think, well, let's see, they might be godly. Let's check it out. And so God's asking you, do you rely on your own insights, your own understandings? And he's going to show you that this is a path they call futility. What's futility? Futility has a lot of different explanations in the Bible, but it's a form of emptiness. It's a path that's going to serve yourself, so to speak, not God. It's a path that doesn't honor God. And guess what? It never, if it's a path of futility, it never brings you what you were wanting to get out of it. Now think about that. So you may make some ununderstanding decisions. I've seen families, totally Christian families, totally fall apart on what they thought was a good understanding of how to live. I've watched even good things like sports totally destroy a family to where they no longer honored God at all, and everybody went their own way. Really good ideas, scholarships, whatever, totally destroyed their life as a Christian, their own understanding. I wonder, when you look at this diagram on the front of your bulletin, we just put down some things, but you could add, where would you see you being conformed? God's warning then is, be careful that you're not seeking a path of futility, a path based on your own understandings, and not a path that would honor God. And it could come in the way you choose amusements. It could be in the form of friends you thought were good. They're really nice people, whatever. I mean, God's really asking you to evaluate all this stuff. Why is it that why do Christians lose the joy in their heart? Why does the peace leave? What's going on? Something's going on. It didn't just happen for no reason. We should be the happiest people on earth. We should be the most content. We should be so filled with joy over the fact that, you know, no matter what happens, no matter how bad it is, everything's going to be okay. Can you imagine if on earth you were doing something and you knew for a fact everything was going to be okay? Don't you think your joy would come up a little bit? I mean, if we knew when we planted that crop, guess what? This year, you're going to get multi-million dollars rich. Man, you would be hoeing weeds and you wouldn't. This is cool. Really? And that's what he's talking about. Are you forgetting, like what Ken shared, that this is about your salvation, eternity? Everything's going to be good. And like Patty shared in Sunday school, all the bad's going to go here, but when we go to heaven, all the good's going with us. It's just going to be good. And we're going, oh, well, wow, something's going on that's bigger than, oh, well. Something's going on with the decisions, the choices, and the ways we're choosing to let our mind go forward. And so God's warning, it reminds me of early on when Cain, what did God say to Cain? Remember? Cain, what's going on? How come you're angry? How come your countenance has fallen? Do you ever hear God say that to you? Hey, Craig, what's going on? How come you're acting all bummed out? You think maybe you got some problems with the way you're thinking? You think you need to do well? Your sin nature, your self-centered part is crouching at the door, and it wants you to go there. Are you ready to deal with it, or are you going to follow it? Because it's waiting, and it wants you to serve yourself 24/7. You know, think of the bad thoughts Jesus had. Oh my gosh, it must have been 24/7. Just attack, 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 attack. And he never sinned. He dealt with every one of them giving honor back to God, not to himself. Wow, that's what he wants us to learn. That's what he wants us to do. And so what's the way of futility? So what's the way of futility? And I have down, I want to just look up this one. This is Romans 1:21. It's just interesting how often, as you look through your scriptures, how often he'll allude to futility and its way. And listen to this, just kind of a little breakdown that goes along with really everything they were talking about at Sunday school. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God. You know, as Christians, we can know God and not honor him as God. We do it all the time, whenever we follow ourselves. That's not honoring God as God. That's honoring yourself over God. They did not honor God, so there's one thing they do. And the other thing it says, that they didn't give thanks anymore. I mean, look at how many times God talks about thanks, 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 thanks. And everything give thanks. Everything? Are you kidding me? I have to give thanks in everything? I bet you right now I could ask each one of you, what's something you would say, I'm not going to give thanks for that? And you'd come up with something. Should I call on somebody under 10 years old and ask them? Rhea, is there anything you wouldn't be thankful for? Don't say anything, okay? So they knew God, but they didn't honor him as God or give thanks. A Christian who is not honoring God or being thankful has lost his way. Sometimes we lose our way, don't we? Isn't it easy to do in this world? And so, look at the diagram. And I was just thinking, what would you say? What transformed looks like, and I have the other verse there for you, Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed. Now listen to this. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. In Thessalonians, you know what it says the will of God is for you? Your sanctification. That's the will of God. Guess what? It goes right along with being transformed. And guess what? Another thing that I really find interesting, and I know you obviously have been taught this before, but transformed is passive. It's passive. It's a passive verb. It's an imperative to do this, but it's passive. In other words, you can't transform yourself. Isn't that what the world teaches? You can transform yourself. It's a lie. You can't transform yourself. So if it's passive, how does it happen? How do you get changed if it's passive, God? He says, you have to submit to my word in your life. As you submit to my word with a heart to follow God and honor him and give thanks, guess what? You're going to change big time. Even James confessed that he doesn't cuss anymore. That was supposed to be kind of funny. But it's not, because it's true. How do you think that happened? How do you think that happened that James doesn't talk like a sailor anymore? Because he had a desire in his heart to follow God and honor him. And he found that kind of language, or our complaining, or our griping, or our bad attitudes, or our bad ways, whatever they might be, our habits, he found those didn't honor God. And God, I want to honor you. I want to honor you with my tongue in this area. And so you have things like Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome word. So what do you think? You memorize a few of those scriptures, different ones, Colossians 4:6, say nothing that doesn't edify. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit, miracle, brings to remembrance, promise of Jesus, better that I leave, brings to remembrance. All of a sudden, when I start to throw out some of these words, when I'm angry, whatever, boom, the next thing in my mind is some verse, Ephesians 4:29, and God humbles me, and I go, oh my gosh, I just dishonored you, didn't I? Yes, you did, Craig. Now, will you redo that? And so God of forgiveness, lets me do it over. And he says in Ephesians 5:14, if you practice this with the right heart, guess what? He says you will gain discernment, the fruit of the Spirit called self-control. It's not something you muster up. It's something that comes as you, out of faith, obey God. And he says this conforming begins to happen as the Holy Spirit transforms you into new ways. The reason we don't change is because we don't want to. We don't really have that desire. We kind of like, it's like somebody said in Sunday school, you know, well, then I wouldn't be who I am. Well, great. Great. I would say that to every one of my daughters. I can't wait till you're not who you are. I can't wait till you're who God wants you to be. More. And they'd say back at you. And it's true. It's all of us, right? I mean, why do you think God says that fools hate counsel and wisdom loves change, loves to be confronted, loves to be instructed, loves instruction. And so do you love to be instructed where you're not following God? And you notice in this it says, do not be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's not three options, just two. You're either being conformed to the world, or you're being transformed to the sanctification that's God's will for your life. There's not a third option. So in any area of your life, you could ask God, am I being conformed to the world? And look at some of these. Amusements, am I? Habits, am I? Styles, am I? Fads, am I? Jokes, am I? Words, am I? Dirty stories, am I? I could make a whole bunch longer list. In every one of those, I'm either being conformed to the world. If you hear the word and don't do it, he says you're deceived. I admit there's areas I'm deceived. And thank you, Jesus, that I have other brothers and sisters and daughters and son-in-laws that'll say something to me. And friends and brothers. And a lot of times I go, I don't see it. They go, exactly, that's the problem. That's the problem. You were being conformed to the world and you didn't even know it. Do you want to be conformed to the world or do you want to be transformed? One of the reasons I believe that we struggle with evangelism is because we struggle with being transformed. And so we walk with some shame. And God says, please, I'm the Lord. Remember the song? I'm the Lord of your shame. Give your shame to me and just follow me. And so the other verse I had for you here that I want you to think about is Psalms. This is a great one to memorize because you see the conforming going on and the transforming again going on in the same verse. How blessed is the man who does not, even though they're in the negative, you can see where this would go if he did, who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. Now think about, look what the downward spiral there. First, I just kind of walked by whatever it is. And then I kind of stood there for a while and checked it out. But look where the path of futility goes. Eventually, I'm one of them. I've been conformed. I've been conformed to the world, and I didn't even know it. I'm sitting in that same seat with all the rest of them. And you know how many of us will go to a funeral and go, really? I didn't know he was a Christian. What is that all about? How can you be a Christian and nobody know it? Is that even possible? I don't know. I sure wouldn't put any security in that one. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that he's raised from the dead, it says that you will be saved. There's some things God's asking of you to do. He's asking you stand up under the... Remember what he says to husbands? Love your wives, love them as Christ loved the church. And what's another thing he gives to the husbands? He says, wash them. Wash them with what? The word of God. The same way you should be getting washed. He's just asking you to wash others the way you're washed. It's like if you tell your little kid, he comes in, he's all muddy and dirty, and you go take a shower. Imperative, passive. Why? He can't wash himself. I'm still dirty. So what's he got to do? He's got to get under the shower to get clean. You've got to get under the word of God to be transformed. There's no transformation without the word of God. None. You know how heavy this is? Now think of our weaknesses. I can tell you my weaknesses are all tied to me not being willing to submit to the word of God. Like they're talking about the tongue today. Am I willing to submit to just saying kind words, gentle words? Am I willing to listen before I talk? Am I willing to just give wholesome speech, edifying speech? That's the word of God. And as it penetrates my heart and makes me have, I'll actually desire, get this, I will actually desire to bless somebody that hates me. That's where it goes. I will actually feel more contentment when I'm actually serving somebody who spits on me. I'm not there yet, but God's doing a change. I mean, it depends how bad the enemy is right now. But I'm getting better. No, but seriously, God's changing you. It's his will. If you're a Christian, you're changing. And I'm telling you, I wish we could take snapshots and put them up here of you 20 years ago. For some of you, you wouldn't be alive. But I just mean, put you up there and then put up the one now and have you going through some action that God's changed your life in that area. You would all have areas that you've been changed. And God's just asking us, what are you waiting for? Why are you holding out on me? Why aren't you giving me everything? Why aren't you denying yourself in that area? Why just this area and that area? Why don't you just deny yourself in all of it. And remember, he says to meditate. I have down here Joshua 1:8. And Joshua talks about this book of the law, you shall meditate on it day and night, and you shall do all that's written in it. So meditation doesn't mean, you know, when it says to meditate, you know, day and night, doesn't mean I'm just thinking of God's word as I'm trying to work and do everything else. You might be a stumbling block at work if you can't think of your job. But I guess the question on this meditation is, where's your head go? Where's your mind go when you're free? Does it just go to the things you want, to serving yourself? Or does it go to the word of God? If it doesn't go to the word of God, you have a problem. And you need to admit it. You need to admit it. And I can tell you, we all have this problem. Our natural inclination, even as Christians, is to serve self. That part of us never left. And so one of the greatest signs of your transformation is when people who are close to you go, wow, you're different than you used to be. God is doing a work on you. You must be under the cleansing power of his word because you're changing. And I never thought I'd see that change in your life where I've seen it. And I've seen people change at 80 years old. That's such a lie that you can't teach a golden dog new tricks. You can. You can teach the fellowship new tricks. But in closing, one other one. And you know, if you look at Psalm 119, the largest chapter, longest chapter in the Bible, the whole thing is on the Word of God. Don't you think that there's a reason? And one we all hold on to in Psalm 119:11, it says that thy word I've hid in my heart. Why? Why would I put the word in my heart? It deals with sin. It says, so that I won't sin against thee. In other words, memorizing scripture is not just so that I can get a gold star at Awanas. But that's okay, I mean, to get those, because God will use them later. So I'm so thankful some of the scriptures I memorized just because it was like a class and you need to memorize scriptures. God ends up taking those, even though I had the wrong motive, it was just to pass the class. And now a lot of times God will bring those to my mind. And it changes my attitude, it changes the way I think. And it allows me, like Christ, to take a bad thought and turn it into something that honors God. Amazing, what a miracle. What a miracle of God. And I want you to keep attention this week of how many times a bad thought will come, and because you're a Christian and you got the Holy Spirit in you, God will take that thought and give you something else to think about that actually honors him. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's a miracle of salvation. And God wants you to know, like Ken was saying, that you're justified. You're his. You don't act like it sometimes, neither do I, but you're his, or you're not. And that's why he wants you to examine that one and make sure you're sure that you're his. Because then you give glory and thanks to God when you change, rather than to yourself. Oh, you're such a great guy. You go to some of these Alcoholic Anonymous things, and all they talk about is how long they've been dry. You know what? If you're not drinking, you're not a drunkard. Sorry. A drunkard is someone who drinks. We've messed with what God says about things. So personal example, I'll just tell you, and I know we've shared this before in self-confrontation, but I know when I realized just some of the things as a new Christian that, and I hate to even bring them up because some of you say, well, you still have that problem. I know I do. But quick to listen, slow to speak. I had a tendency, I got in trouble a lot in elementary school, high school, a lot of trouble because of my mouth and being disrespectful. And I see that was a pattern of mine to kind of come back disrespectful when somebody's disrespectful to me. So I would put one, James 1:19, quick to listen, slow to speak. Two, the bondservant of Christ is not argumentative. 2 Timothy 2:24. Three, 1 Peter 3, never return evil for evil, but just return a blessing instead. Four, James 4:1, you argue and fight just because you want your own way. And I would force myself to say all those verses before I would respond, and it started changing my heart. And I started really wanting to be what God wanted me to be, and that's a biggie. That is so huge. When you start in an area where you're struggling, when you start wanting to be what God wants you to be, oh, I mean, when you go to school and you want to learn, you're a better studier. It took me till I got to college before I wanted to learn. That was sad. I just think of all the wasted years because I really didn't want to learn. But what a difference when you want to learn. What a difference when you want to receive, when you're not putting up a wall and a roadblock to the Holy Spirit. Wow, when you're quenching it. In conclusion, Hebrews 4, 15 and 16 is a great one when it says that Jesus is asking you to come to him and asking you to come to him with any of your temptations and trials and struggles. It says he's been tempted in every way like we were, yet without sin. And he's asking you to come to him. And I guess the question I would ask you is, how do you come to God? I mean, he's asking you to come to him. How would you say, if somebody said, so how do you come to Jesus? How do you come to this throne of grace? I'd like to know. What would you respond? Because this should be a regular practice unless you think you're sinless, unless you think you're never overcome. And it says, no temptation has overtaken you, 1 Corinthians 10:13, but God is faithful. Faithful what? To provide the way for you to endure it, stand up under it without falling. You've already fallen. That's why he's saying you're overcome. No temptation's overtaken you, overcome. You're down. You've blown it. He's saying, that's what I'm going to teach you. Are you open to listen, to learn? And I love this story. And remember, 1 Thessalonians 4:3, this is the will of God, your sanctification. You know, it says, do not be conformed, be transformed, renew your mind. Then you will prove, it says, what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. What is that? Your sanctification. You becoming what he wants you to become. That's his will. Are you cooperating? And why aren't you? Why aren't you? Can you answer the question in your heart? There's no good excuse, but usually we have them. Well, his will is that, in conclusion, I want you to think about, I don't know if I put it in your notes, but this fellow that started the Salvation Army, his parents were missionaries. Oh, yeah, I do, Booth Tucker. Very interesting guy. Parents were missionaries in India and came back and started, think about it, Chicago was like a light on the hill, even while the gangsters were there. Just sharing Christ, sharing Salvation Army situation, and he'd give talks. Well, he's given this one talk one day on the goodness of God. No matter what, the goodness of God, the sovereignty of God, no matter what you're going through, God is good. God is good. Do you believe that? Can you give thanks for that no matter what you're going through? We ask in Sunday school today, is there anything you can't give thanks for? Is there something that could happen in your life and you just can't give thanks? What God offers you is not big enough to cover what you think is worthy of your despair. Wow, you need to deal with that. But anyway, so he's sharing this message and this guy comes forward and he's very mad. And he goes, you know what? If your God is so good, then how come my four kids are at home crying because their mom's dead and she's not coming back? Where's your good God now? And he said, you know, God is good no matter what happens to us. And he goes, well, it's too bad you don't understand. And he walked away. 2 days later, there was a train wreck and Booth's wife died, his closest partner. I mean, she was everything to him on earth. And at the funeral, he's given a talk. And he says, you know, God is good. And I've never been so sad and broken in my whole life. But I know God is good. And I wish a fellow was here that was at my revival a couple weeks ago so I could tell him. And the guy's there. He stands up, goes, I'm here. And he goes, well, I want to tell you something. Well, this is going on and I'm looking at my wife. He said, God just put a song in my heart and I can't explain it, but he just put a song in my heart while this is going on. And the guy came forward, started to cry, got on his knees, and asked Jesus into his heart. I mean, it's important how we honor God even when bad things are going on. And I just hope you'll all agree and hold that on in your heart. Let's close and fellowship. We'll see you later. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for just the warnings you give us about walking in a futile way that really isn't going to bring about the outcome we wanted. And help us to make decisions and path choices based on if it really does honor you and how that would look to give you honor in that path. And also, Lord, that whatever path we're on, that we would be a path that includes us being someone that's giving thanks all the time. And just pray that for each one of us. Pray we would grow in this understanding and pray that your will would be done, as Ken shared earlier, in our sanctification, and that we would let go of areas that we've held on way too long. Just ask your blessing on our day and on this week. And Lord, pray that those that would be willing would memorize those three scriptures and come next week ready to talk about this stuff in Sunday school. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.